Taco Bell's great cause it won't burn your mouth. The flavors are yummy and it isn't too hot. If somebody ever punches you in the eye, compress Taco Bell to it if you can't find ice.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Hey, thanks for checking out Keeping It 99. It's a heavy metal podcast. It's a Northeast Ohio heavy metal podcast. We don't just talk about bands from Cleveland or Akron or Canton or Kent or Youngstown or Norton, Ohio, if you know what city that is. It's a city in Northeast Ohio. I don't even know if Youngstown is Youngstown considered Northeast Ohio. I don't know. I know people that go to Youngstown, the West Side Bowl. You can go there. They have some really good shows. They've done the Blackout Cookouts there. They have good bands. It's a bowling alley. And bowling alleys are all over Northeast Ohio. So yeah, that's kind of what this show is. And today we're going to be talking with an absolutely, dude, I mean, a legendary Akron hardcore band, if you will. If there ever was one, Don Austin would be one of them. They could be it. Maybe Splinter or the Unholy Three. They might top it. And the band I think is like, you know, could do maybe Persistent Aggressor, you know, maybe that those bands. Go check out all of those bands I just mentioned. They're all on Bandcamp and you can get a lot of their stuff for free because their singer is like too cool to take your money for something that he should, especially with Persistent Aggressor, because man, some of y'all motherfuckers slept on that record, dude. Jesus Christ. You go back to that, go listen to Persistent Aggressor on Spotify. That's going to be a suggestion. Also, check out the band Drain. How about this? Check out the band Drain. Listen to the album California Cursed, or if you already have, cool, listen to it again and tell me what you think about it, because I think that band rules. If you do, I'll read it on the podcast. How about that? How about that? Drain rules. Fucking rules. If you're in a band, probably not as good as Drain. You know what I'm saying? If you're in a band and you think your band's better than Drain, also tell me that. I want to know if you think that your band is better than the band that I think that you should listen to. Drain. Listen to the album California Cursed. Go ahead, wait, watch me! You can check out Don Austin. They're doing one reunion show. We're going to get into, you know, the history of the band. We're going to talk about what it is that making them want to do a reunion show. They're going to be at Musica this Friday. The show starts at 8 o'clock. The punk rock time, right? Punk rock time, 8 o'clock. But the show does kick off at that time, which is great for people like me, people with bedtimes. And it's, dude, you got Wall Creeper. Radar Secret Service is Get Back. Another really, really cool band from back in the day. And, of course, the reuniting Don Austin, dude. So come out, hang out with me. You can kick it with me earlier in the day. I'll be down at Black Tooth Tattoo doing Friday the 13th shit. I'll be selling some tattoos right before the show, but I will be up there for sure at Musica to check out Radar Secret Service, Wall Creeper, legends of the podcast. Come on, man. Get fucking real. Wall Creeper, bro. Come on. Wall Creeper rules. And the iconic Akron hardcore punk band Don Austin. So this is an awesome talk, man, that I have with the guys. We talk about their reunion show. We talk about reunion shows in general, too. It's a really insightful, cool time. You could tell that they didn't feel comfortable talking about themselves. But you know what? It's what I wanted to fucking know about, dude. Is why would I be talking to guys from Don Austin about a Don Austin show without talking about fucking Don Austin? It's my job as an interviewer, as a journalist, if you will, as a podcaster, to get the fucking goods. So this Friday the 13th, a great day. Don Austin's reuniting. Also, a reunited Radar Secret Service, Wall Creepers opening up. We've talked about that band once or twice on this podcast. There's so many different questions I want to get into with you guys, but like, let's just kind of go back. Don Austin, the time frame. When did Don Austin start, and how many years did you guys go at it?
Specifically, 99.
Yeah, specifically Don Austin, as it was known as Don Austin, it was 99 to 2006. Prior to that, Josh and I were in a band called the Unholy Three with Clint Bott and Chris Bott and a fellow by the name of Joe Melnick. Basically, when that band dissolved, Don Austin started on the heels of that. So everybody who was in Don Austin, not everybody, but a big portion of the band that was in Don Austin was already in the Unholy Three and had played together before. But when Don Austin started, it was just Clint and I and a guy by the name of Jim Tumalovich played bass. He was in a band, a really great band called The Pricks. And so we got him to play bass, and Joe McRoley, who was in Splinter with me, was in Don Austin really early on, played like a couple shows, and we did our first 7-inch with that lineup. And almost immediately after, Clint's brother Chris joined the band on the condition that he get to play second guitar because he was the bassist in Unholy Three. And he had mentioned, were you in Dayton at that time right before the band?
I was saving up for school, so I was out of town, but it was no fun living in my mom and dad's small town outside of Dayton, so I moved back.
And so when Josh came back, he joined the band, but he came in on bass. So Chris and he basically flip-flop instruments, and we got Sean Spindler to play drums through Chris. He was in Dead Body Chuckers and a band called Dahmer, the one that was based out of Akron, not the Canadian one. And so that was the lineup for a while. We did 2 7-inches with that lineup, and Josh wanted to finish his studies. So he dipped out, and Mike Stangelo joined the band on bass. And that was the lineup that played the last show in 2006. I think it was April 2006 was our last show as a operating band. We did a couple reunion shows in 2011, which weren't. Can you hear all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Well, not that much.
Yeah, it's really super distracting. Hold on one second, guys.
This is already going better than the last Don Austin interview in any kind of public forum.
I don't know if
Larry ever told you this, but so for some godforsaken reason, we got an interview on WNIR, the Talk of Akron. And there was some nice guy that had like a night show. I think was usually like a dating show. But other than that, you know, that's like a conservative talk station. The Spirit of Akron on WNIR. Come on and listen at home, at work, in your car. The talk of Akron, it's in everything we do. Your mother sucks cocks and healthcare. Mm-hmm. And I remember it being funny because there was no reason for us to randomly be talking about hardcore punk on WNIR at like 10 o'clock at night. I remember in the middle of the interview, they took a call and some guy called up and he was like, "Hey brother, I just want to say, I love this band. These guys are great. They're awesome." And he hung up very abruptly. And I remember thinking, I can't believe somebody called in and even like knew what was going on with this. And like after the interview, like Larry's like, "Oh, that was one of the Dead Body Chuckers called in. They like trying to drum up support." And I was like, "Oh, how foolish of me to think that anybody even cared." And I remember the host asked everybody what they're listening to. And after the interview, Sean, the drummer, was all mortified. And he's like, "Oh, F, I can't believe I said that. I feel like such an idiot." I'm like, "What happened, man? Like, I didn't think anything went down in this interview that was that bad." He's like, "He asked me what music I was into. For some reason, I said that I was listening to a lot of the Smashing Pumpkins lately. That was a terrible answer, and I'm totally embarrassed, and I can't believe that's on the air." And then at the end of the interview, the host is like, "All right, well, we're going to play some of the music. So let's go ahead and what's the name of this tune?" And then I see Larry and Sean are looking at each other, like turning their pockets inside out and all puzzled. And the interview ends with, "Oh, we forgot the CD," and there was like none of the music played on WNIR, and it was a miserable failure.
That to me sounds like the greatest interview of all time, dude. Like, like if it ends, especially like on air, a situation where it's like, "Oh, I forgot the CD." Like, that's just the ultimate. Like, if I'm listening and I don't know anything about you guys, I'm now interested. Like, I'm hardcore. I want to know what Don Austin is.
Yeah, and that might have been before it was real easy to look things up on the, you know, there wasn't any Apple Music back then.
Yeah.
Like, Larry, I was telling him about the failed WNIR interview. I mean, it wasn't failed, but it was kind of like silly.
Oh, yeah. My buddy used to do the dating show, and I worked with him at Kinko's at the time, and he just kind of said, "Do you want to come on?" And I'm like, "Okay." I mean, it didn't really serve much purpose other than to give us an excuse to go on the radio and act like jerk offs. So, you know, it was pretty funny. Galen's a good guy, and I like that he wanted to have us on. So
I was telling him how Sean got all mortified that his answer to what he was listening to lately was the Smashing Pumpkins, and then he like second guessed it, was all like mad afterwards. And then at the end, he's like, "Well, let's put on a song." And we're all like, "Well, we forgot the music." And that's how the interview ends.
Yeah, we didn't take any with us. So
you guys did a couple of reunion shows, you said, in 2011.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was 5 years after the fact. And Sean was coming back to town and he proposed that we do a reunion. And a lot of people were pretty happy about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of ambivalent towards those for reasons I really won't go into. Nothing inter-band wise. It was just a really difficult point. And I wasn't super jazzed on it at the time, but we played a couple shows and our friends loved it. So, you know, it wasn't like it was a complete waste of time or anything, but it just, so we did those, but we haven't played it. We haven't done anything since 2011. Josh and I have been, we've tried, I don't know. He and I have done a bunch of bands, you know, since then. A couple of them we aborted just because, you know, personnel issues with, you know, it's weird because the thing about Don Austin, it was always easy.
Yeah.
You know, it was never, you know, I mean, we fought like anybody else, but not quite to the level that of some of the nightmare stories I hear from other bands and stuff. You know, we have pretty strong personalities in the band, but I think everybody tempers, you know, their words and what they think, you know, to sort of, you know, come together and make it work appropriately.
So from 1999 to 2006, you guys were playing out quite a bit. You guys built up quite a name for yourself. Like I saw you guys. Was it Lime Spider?
You would have seen us. You could have seen us there. We played between that place and Annabelle's.
I didn't go to the Lime Spider that much because different scene.
We did play whatever Ron's Crossroads was called at that time.
Yeah.
A couple times. And those shows were fucking nightmares, but it was just an opportunity for us to play to different people because we never shied away from playing to, different crowds,
I feel like we played there with Mortician once.
We might have. I don't recall. I know we played one of those, and Eric's heard me talk about this before, one of those Dan Kogar extravaganzas where there were like fucking 20 bands playing. Mm-hmm. And they all sounded like a really bad version of Pantera one way or another. And at one show in particular, the singer took off his shirt and Sean started gooning him from the crowd. In between songs, Sean came up with the phrase we said for every tough guy band we saw. Sean started going, "Where's my weights?" Like that. So that became, we'd get real. So some shows we'd get good and drunk and we'd start taunting bands with members that could clearly mop the floor with us, but we didn't give a fuck. Cause you've got your fucking shirt off, dude, and it's not even hot. It's fucking January. Shut the fuck up. If it's hot, by all means, please.
I remember when he would do that. The first couple times that he did that, I was like, oh man, this is a bad idea. It's gonna turn into something crazy. And then I'm like, but that guy deserves it.
But you may have seen us possibly at one of those shows.
So,
Spider a lot.
I was asking in the regard of I couldn't remember because I didn't go there that often because I was usually, while you guys were at the Lime Spider going to cool underground hardcore shows, I was chilling over at the Voodoo is what it was called at the time. At those tough guy Dan Kogar shows, that was my scene, and I went and saw Don Austin. I think I want to go see, we have a mutual friend, Bobby. I went to the Lime Spider because I was excited. I had a Don Austin CD, even though my scene was very much, Limp Bizkit parody bands. I did have an affinity for punk rock and hardcore and just all kinds of shit. The best, it was the best of the best. And when I listened to your guys' stuff, I was like, oh, this is as good as some of that, Integrity, Cro-Mags kind of stuff. So I was really into going there. I go to the show and immediately a dude lets me know I don't belong there. He wasn't wrong. I was wearing a Twisted shirt, which Twisted, for those that don't know, they're Insane Clown Posse's understudies. And so it wasn't just a Juggalo shirt, but it was a band that's right under the Insane Clown Posse as far as status, right? I played
was
it
this cool, a door guy, or was it some citizen vigilante that
it was a vigilante in the crowd. And with as much as it hurt my feelings at the time, a part of me also appreciated the lookout because I got looks. I definitely everybody was just I want to punch this dude in the face. I was the most punchable looking guy there.
Oh, actually, honestly, if you were at the Lime Spider, you were probably not the most punchable looking guy there. The big secret is that every motherfucking scene is corny as fuck.
Yeah.
It is. It's all fucking corny as fuck. It's all codified and it's this weird sort of unwritten rules. And at that point, Don Austin, we were in our 30s. I was 32.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys were late 20s. So all the other nonsense regarding, like, you know, seeing this and seeing that. We were just not, it was just not something, you know, that we were a part of, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, while I was joking about the tough guy thing, half joking, you and I have talked about this, Eric, and I've said it to Josh, people have their gateways, you know, into music and culture, and to really mock somebody because of that is just fucking the ultimate in lame. You know, it, I mean, I know it sounds weird coming from me, but generally it's just my crankiness often overrides, you know, my actual thought that people can like what they like, you know, unless it's particularly egregious. And then I will go in hard on something. Generally, I'll goon about it, but ultimately it doesn't matter, you know? So somebody, if you walked in a Lime Spider of all fucking bars and somebody tried to, you know what? Fuck whoever did that. Fuck that.
I mean,
because first of all, there was no hardcore scene in Akron at that time. There was no hardcore scene. The only other bands that were remotely closely related to what we were doing in Akron at the time that we were aware of. So let me qualify that. Dexter Chumley Attack, of which Josh was a member, played guitar, and Concordia Discourse. Everybody else was playing something else, and that was fine with us, you know, because we were more interested in playing with our friends' bands and having a good time rather than we were like, let's start a hardcore scene. You know, fuck that. You know, if it doesn't happen organically, you know, and it only happens organically when you give people an opportunity to experience stuff. And being a gatekeeper like that sometimes is the fucking worst.
And I'll tell you, like, I struggle, like, with Don Austin. I mean, like, I have a love for the band and the music because it's my lane, right? But it was always a very difficult band to explain to, like, serious people or family members, right? They'd say, oh, what's your rock and roll band like? And you play a, you know, a 7-inch of, like, 20 songs that are all 45 seconds with a dude yelling, you know, your aunt will look at you like she's alarmed and that something wrong, you know, is going down. And and so it was very difficult for me to explain, like, why it was important to me musically. And then contrast that with, like, at the time, like, the Black Keys were still playing small shows. I saw the Black Keys at the Lime Spider one time, I think while I was in Don Austin. And I immediately saw that band, and within 45 seconds...
Pat was living with Chris and Edge. So,
I looked at that band and I said, that's real music. I won't see these guys on a small stage again. They're going to be Hollywood in about a week, you know? But... I've struggled with Don Austin, right? Because it's a very niche kind of thing, unless you're into some down and dirty hardcore. But, you know, upon, you know, review, or there's that Manish show that once you get past the first 10 minutes of crap, you can see, like, the essence of it all. And somehow the band, on musical merits or not, I appreciated the fact that even though there was not a quote-unquote scene in the pejorative sense, people would come out and hang out consistently. And it was like, at least the time that I was in the band, and surely after I left, it was like there was this organic party, and people were down for the party for, like, years. And I've never been a part of anything like that before or since, and I thought it was a pretty cool time to be around.
Let's just keep pretending.
because it just goes back. We just wanted to see our friends' bands play, and the best way to do it was to play together.
Yeah,
and it was like us and Interfuse and the two bands I mentioned, Dexter Trumbly Attack, Concordia Discourse. We played Disengage a lot, Stepsister, Amps 211,
Pancradion.
Like, we played with all kinds of bands, you know. I mean, we opened for Bad Wizard, which is like a rock and roll band of the AC/DC variety. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we just didn't give a fuck. It's like, do we like the band? Yeah, well, let's play. You know, it's, and so, you know, again, I say scene pejoratively.
Pejorative, disparaging, belittling, or derogatory.
Because it's just, it's lame to think about it that way. The idea is just, you just want to play with your friends.
And there are a lot of meritorious things that go along. I mean,
meritorious. Deserving of merit or commendation, deserving reward.
And there are a lot of meritorious things that go along. I mean, I met my wife at Annabelle's, you know, playing silly music, right?
Yeah.
Or, and like lots of moments, man. Like I said, like any day, there was a time period, it seemed like it lasted for years, where on any given Tuesday or Monday, you could just show up at a particular, you know, watering hole around town. You'd see like five people, you know, and by midnight, it was like, you know, being in somebody's living room, right? And then even musically, like, there are still like Fistula.
How many fucking shows did we play at Fistula?
Like, well, and they used to be smaller. And I remember the time that they debuted like the JJ Cale cover. Legitimate
on the Idiopathic record, I think.
Yeah, legitimate musical experience, you know, like I saw that and I was like, I'm impressed that they did a cover that works this well with what they do.
Yep.
And it was just like a lot of those moments. And, you know, so I guess to kind of end cap what I was rambling about when I began this like section of the conversation is, you know, despite the packaging of being a thrashed out, you know, 30-second hardcore band, it was a legitimate experience in life and like a lot of moments that I wouldn't give away for anything, you know. And sometimes silly hardcore bands are the vehicle for that.
I didn't expect the Don Austin reunion show, and this is, we should clarify, this is just a show, right? It's not like you guys aren't in the studio making a new Don Austin record.
Nope.
Writing new jingles, nope. New hits. Nope.
Nope. Not in a million years.
Getting the band back together, boys.
No.
Yeah. What is the story? My theory is that this is one for the homies. The homies getting together, gonna play some songs for the homies.
Yeah.
Am I right with that?
Yeah, I think it started. I was feeling pretty nostalgic on one day, and I just started thinking about after Don Austin, you know, I've done a couple bands, like, you know, the three most prominent ones I did were Hatchet Job, which that band lasted actually 7 years. We just never really played that much. And I did Contra, which was, you know, a good band. I wasn't suited for it, but it was a really good band. And Persistent Aggressor. And Persistent Aggressor, you know, I love that record and I love the guys that were in the band, but I was really super disappointed because we couldn't make it a working band the way, even in the part-time way that I envisioned it. It just wasn't possible. The parts didn't fit that way. And then the pandemic happened. And so I was just thinking about, you know, how it's been super hard for me to keep a band together, you know, not just me. The people I've worked with, you know, so it's not all on my shoulders, but it's super hard to keep a band together when you get to be, you know, our age. And also, you know, it got me thinking about the people I've played with. And Chris Bott, Clint's brother, passed away a number of years ago. And we never had an opportunity to celebrate. And I do mean that word. I know it's a real cheesy phrase that people use when they talk about people, you know, that are no longer with us, but we didn't have an opportunity to really celebrate, you know, his contribution to the bands and the impact he's had on my life and Josh's life, and yeah. certainly his brother Clint, as well as Sean Spindler and Mike Stangelo. And we never really got to really acknowledge that. With the last reunion, we got to acknowledge Pat Beck, who was our roadie and was super important to us as well, because Pat was in bands that I grew up listening to. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he roadied for our band was like big. It was a big deal for us. And he was like, you know, he was older than I am. He's, you know, he was somebody we looked up to, as well as just being our friend. So, you know, I just got to think about those people. And I just said, I think I want to play a show, you know, with Don Austin. And so the first person we had to get to buy in really was Clint, because it's his brother. And I don't want it to be, I don't want to whore out Chris's memory just for some fucking pats on the back. Good job, guys. I loved your band. I mean, that's bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I barely got the sentence out of my mouth, and Clint was like, yes, I want to do this. You know, Clint was on board. And then it was a matter of Sean being on board, because he's in Los Angeles. You know, he's going to travel a long way to play one fucking show. You know, it's like, so there was that. And then there was like, well, what do we do about Chris's not being here? And it made sense to me in my head that, you know, Stangelo and Josh were never in Don Austin at the same time. They were both bass players. You know, Mike came in when Josh dipped out. So it made sense to me that Josh just play second guitar in Chris's spot, you know. Mm. And actually, before I even had a chance to propose that to Clint, Clint said, well, we can't do it unless Josh plays second guitar, because that's the only thing that makes sense. So it's all in the family still. It's all members of the band that had really extensive, you know, lengths of time in the band and really put a lot of time and effort into it. So it's not like this cobbled together, hoard out kind of, you know, bullshit thing. And you know, it's just an opportunity for us to play together. We really haven't, you know, I see Clint a lot because he has kids my age. Mm-hmm. Josh and I talk a lot. Stangelo and I talk a lot. Sean's harder to get to because he's out in California, he's 3 hours behind, but you know, we're all in communication, you know, lesser or greater level. So it just made sense. Let's play a fucking show. And I'm not saying this is the last time we would do a reunion show, but if I'm being kind of honest, you know, it's highly unlikely we'll do this again. it's too hard. It's too big of an undertaking. It's just important that we do it now and we commemorate Chris and, you know, Chris's contributions to the band and our lives. I mean, I was in two bands with that guy. Between him and Clint, I was, you know, prior to Josh and I having our musical history together, I was in a mm-hmm. band with Clint and Chris consistently for 13 years. They were just two different bands.
Right.
You know, it was like the three of us with people moving in and out. And then, you know, after, you know, we moved on away from Don Austin, then Josh and I sort of were trying different things and shit, you know? So I just felt like we'd be remiss if we didn't try to, you know, acknowledge Chris somehow, you know?
I think you said that well. And to me, it's one of those things, like there's some purity to it in that all the things that Larry touched on are true. A lot about friendship, a lot about fun, a lot about, for whatever reason, there's a need to play this kind of music that I care about so much. And I would do it if I knew that like two people are going to come to this show, I'd still do it and have just as much fun. And it you know, like I kind of want to walk the line carefully, because I don't want to like have a hard time talking about it, but I miss Chris.
Yeah.
He was a really good friend, and you know, he was one of those people that you don't need a couch to sleep on, you need something to eat. One time my car broke down, he just said bring it over, he fixed it. And when I was, you know, originally in the band with them, I think he let me borrow his bass for like 3 years, you know, or you know, it seemed like 3 years. It was at least a year and a half before I bought one, and he never said anything sideways about it, and just like a lot of good relationships and good laughs, man. And it's just like, so Larry pitches this idea, I'm like, I'll do it. That just sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah. I mean, simple, you know, as that. We kind of really, a lot of us lost touch with Chris, you know, after the second reunion or the first reunion shows. It just, you know, we just sort of went our different ways and everything. And, but, you know, Chris was always, again, like Josh and like Clint, Chris was always supportive of my ideas, you know. I didn't collaborate with him writing wise, but there were so many times where I'd have a riff and Chris would be like, that's dope, let's do it. You know, just that kind of validation, you know, that's important for a guy, even though I was in my late 20s, pushing my early 30s, you know, I'm not a musician, man. And to have somebody who's actually a good guitar player tell you, hey, I really like that idea, let's do it. That's a big deal. You know, I mean, cause I'm not the most creative person. I have this impulse to put stuff out into the world, but I don't, you know, I don't have the capacity to do it all the time very well. And to have somebody who has that capacity and that ability to tell you that that's good, it's meaningful. And whether anybody else thought outside of our circle of five of us, I truly mean this. I didn't give a fuck. It didn't matter that my song was 50 seconds long because you know what? My boy thought it was dope. So we're going to do a 50 second song. And you know what? The favorite thing somebody's ever said to me about the band was, he said, I really love your band, but I get really mad because you come to these dope mosh parts and you just stop playing the song before we've had a chance to mosh. And I'm like, yeah, because that's our fuck you. We're like, oh, you like this? Okay, eat shit, dude. You know, we're done. The song's over. Like, and we did that stuff to please ourselves. And it was, you know, it's cliche to say that, but that is truly why we did it. I mean, what other reason would anybody in their right mind have a song that's fucking 13 seconds long other than to please themselves?
That's punk rock, dude.
Boy, this feels really fucking self-important, dude. Can we just shit on somebody or something?
Yeah.
Can we talk about something else for a second?
Yeah, I will say that this is the most I've ever talked about this band.
Yeah, this is feeling fucking stupid.
We should talk about other reunions.
And don't edit that part out, because I do really feel like a fucking complete jerk off right now.
Nah, I'm the one who steered it into asking you questions about yourselves.
Yeah,
If anybody's to blame on that shit, it'd be me.
I will say that I was hoping that you'd edit like half of it out.
I might.
Because this is what it sounds like, actually. You know, the people driving in their car while they're fucking road raging, listening to your podcast. Womp, 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 womp. We did this and we did that. Womp, 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 womp. That's what it fucking sounds like.
It's Somebody's going to be like, those are those dickheads that were on WNIR that forgot their CD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, but it,
they're not as funny.
Long
now.
Story short, we're doing the show because we want to hang out with our friends and have a good time and commemorate Chris, and that's really all there is to it.
So. I want to ask about the lineup.
We got Wall Creeper to blow us off the stage.
Well, I mean, that's if we allow them to play second.
Larry's got a bedtime, man.
I gotta
go to sleep.
It made sense to me to ask them because they're my favorite local hardcore band. And I really like Sean, and I've gotten to know Joe a little bit. I don't know Nichols and the drummer very well. In fact, I don't know them at all. I just know them, and we say hello when we see each other when I have the opportunity to get out to shows. But it just made perfect sense that they play. Other bands were kicked around. Feds was a name that was kicked around a bit, but we wanted to include bands that we played with from back then, if at all possible.
Yeah.
And the only one that's operating currently at the time that is from back then is Fistula, but you know, Corey and him couldn't commit to it. So, you know, they graciously said, thank you, but we can't. And we're sort of struggling to figure out who we were going to do the show with. And Sean said, it'd be great if we get somebody like Radar Secret Service. And I told him, I said, it's got to be a band that's operating somehow, because I don't want it to be two reunion shows, because it'd be too hard. It's too much of an ask to ask somebody to get back together to play our reunion show. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And I ran into Robbie at the record store, and we got to talking, and I told him, I said, yeah, we're playing a show. And he said, yeah. I said, what are you doing? He was talking about a wedding he was going to. And he said, yeah, funny thing was, we've been practicing because we were going to play his bachelor party. I said, what, you guys been playing? He was, yeah, recently, just, you know. And I said to him, I said, well, since you've already been practicing, would you guys be interested in doing the show? And he goes, I'll let you know tonight. And then that night he said, yeah, we're in. So it was really cool, because at one point they were probably my favorite band in the area of any kind. They were really fucking good.
Kind of an interesting band, like rough, very, very roughly. I always thought that they kind of, and this is not exact, but they had like the East Bay Ray type of reverb-y guitar. Like, it was almost like a mashup of The Cure and the Dead Kennedys, but like with more humor.
With some Gang of Four elements in there.
Like, yeah.
The guitar playing is different than, like, it's not a really, really heavily distorted guitar playing. You know, and the bass playing is really complex, and the drumming matches that. They're a really good band. I don't know. I thought you wanted to talk about reunions generally, not just ours.
Well, I didn't expect, like, you know what I mean? We went on for like 50 minutes.
Oh, well, you can always cut some of that garbage out and we can talk about other reunions.
Or we could like do the lightning round with it.
Well, let's do it then.
I mean, let's go with the big one here. What's your feelings on this Pantera tribute reunion?
Well, that's a band that has a brand image problem.
I am 1,000% apologetic to anyone that took offense to what I said.
A little bit.
So, to be honest, okay, so I bought, so my family, like, we love Metallica, right?
Yeah.
And so it's the band that thrashes, the family that thrashes together stays together. And so I made this, like, horrible decision to buy Metallica tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Before, and I didn't know who was up. So, like, on night one of the leg that I purchased them for, Pantera is opening for them, which, I don't know, man. I'm there for the riffs. There's some baggage with that band. I think it's weird that they would do it without Daryl. But, like, I guess if you're going to pick somebody, you pick Zakk Wylde.
Yeah.
I'll go on record by saying that Charlie Benante is a better drummer.
Yeah.
Charlie Benante is one of the most underrated drummers in the world.
But that being said, I think it's just odd. But it, like when you and I talked about on the Cranky episode, Eric,
mm-hmm.
my opinion doesn't matter, man. If people are going to have a good time with this, just fucking go have a good time. You know,
yeah. I was talking with Jess about this. If Phil Anselmo says one more thing, I'm done. I'm out. I'm officially out. I'm
short leash, man.
One more, and I won't go. I won't go. I'm going to go see them opening up for Metallica in Detroit on my birthday.
Yep.
I'm very excited. Awesome. I'm very excited about it. Not so excited about the Van Halen kid. Fucking that guy's shitty band. They're opening. Not stoked about that. I'm very excited to see the whatever. I don't know what it is. If Phil sounded like shit, I wouldn't care. And if Phil says one more, he's got one more with me.
Do you think he's going to sound like shit? I don't think he will.
No, he's going to sound great.
I'm a huge Phil hater. But nah, I don't see him not coming correct with his vocals.
Nah, he's been hitting
probably
it.
I see him probably. I mean, I haven't watched any videos or anything, but yeah. I bet you he's probably sounding good.
So, you know, the reason that I'm somewhat interested in it is, so my daughter has organically gotten a certain music on her own, and she loves that Ozzy Osbourne record that was the first one that Zakk Wylde appeared on.
Was it No More Tears?
No, it was before that. It's the one where he's on the throne with the
No Rest for the Wicked.
No Rest for the Wicked.
Yeah.
Okay. And love that. Yes, Crazy Track
that,
2.
That riff.
Well, they're so in there, like the Bloodbath in Paradise that I having to explain to my daughter what that song is about. But she loves that album primarily because of Ozzy, but is astute enough to recognize that the guitar playing on that pretty remarkable with all its pinch harmonics and everything else. I think that she'd be interested. It's like the same guy playing guitar that was on that album. And I think that resonates with me as well.
I think, you know, the funny thing about a lot of reunions is that, you know, generally I'm not a huge fan of them. And, you know, I've been on record saying I wasn't super interested in doing a reunion myself, you know, because of my past experiences doing them. But this one felt right. It felt like the right time to do ours. But as far as other bands, I think I've seen the bands I wanted to see. You know, I've seen Infest, you know, and they were amazing. And they've seen Negative Approach a couple times and gotten to play with them. So that's awesome.
Playing with the Negative Approach, you know, like if you want to call it it's a reunion. Sure. Musical highlight of my life, probably. And I'm glad that happened. I was there for that, you know?
So we're pro Negative Approach reunion.
Yeah. Pro Carcass.
But, yeah, Carcass.
Carcass,
yeah.
Come on.
That was great. Well, they're making some of the best records now of, you know.
The past decade. Yeah, easy. Yeah. Like Surgical Steel, like it constantly, it, like that always finds its way into the rotation in the car. Like.
Yep.
Misfits with Danzig is a no.
I would. I'm just not paying that kind of money for it.
Yeah, I'm about that. I just don't want to go to Chicago.
I'm not interested in the whole event of it. You know, I'd rather it be something. But I, you know, if somebody said, "Hey, here's some free tickets. It's happening in Cleveland." Yeah, I'd go to that. But yeah. I'm not looking to that. You know, I would. You know what? You know what I would like to see, and I don't know why I've just thought of this. Maybe because I was listening to a podcast today. They were talking about Tim Singer, the singer for Dead Guy and Kiss It Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And they equated him aesthetically in some ways to Rollins. Now, I never want to see Black Flag with Rollins or any other version because I'm just not interested in that.
That's a topic.
What I would like to see, though, strangely enough, would be the Rollins band if they only played stuff from Lifetime and Hard Volume. I think I'd pay to see that. That'd be killer. But that will never happen, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I want to be on the record of saying that I'm not for any of these versions of Black Flag.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess, man.
Because I got real opinion of, you know, like, and I guess if I had to see one, I'd see the one with Keith and the dude from the Descendants or whatever. You know,
I don't even want to see that.
I don't want to see the one.
I heard it's fine, but
I don't want to see the one that's just Greg. Like, the only version of Black Flag that I would want to see is one that doesn't make sense, because in 2023, you don't need the, you know, the My War lineup.
No.
Because it just wouldn't work.
No.
Let's talk about. So, what was that band that the guitar player from Ascension was in that got real big?
Chimera?
Yeah, they're doing a reunion.
They're doing 20th anniversary shows, like, for a certain record they did.
Like two nights, the Ringworm Nights sold out already at the Agora.
Yeah.
And then there's an Integrity State of Conviction night that, you know, I'm sure it will sell really well too.
Yeah.
I thought that was impressive.
I got tickets for that.
Which night are you going?
Integrity State of Conviction. State of Conviction is
my, was State of Conviction your hook for that one, as opposed to the Ringworm Night?
Yeah. Jason Popson, dude. One of my favorite fucking singers, Cleveland guy, all day long. State of Conviction is one of my favorite bands from that mid 90s era.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, like, Integrity, like, it's hard to not want to see Integrity. I honestly don't know more than two fucking Chimera songs.
Wow.
I'm excited to see them live, because I know it's going to be a cool show. If you like metal, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everything I've ever heard from Chimera, cool. I've got to meet some of the dudes from the band. Mm-hmm. Fucking, they were dudes. And then the fact that all the heavy metal magazines and all the websites were going crazy about Chimera reuniting, I was like, really? Like, I remember that they were a local band for like a day. It was kind of like the same deal with Black Keys, where you knew they were taking off. I saw Chimera one time, and they legitimately, like, I was like, oh, this is a good local band. Can't wait to see them again. And then they were signed. Yeah, they were signed. Yeah. And then they were like on tours. And I was like, oh, I thought I was going to see him like every fucking other week at Peabody's, but they're now off on their own. And then I didn't really listen to them. Like, I don't know how somehow, like, it slid off my radar. Maybe I was just jealous because I was trying to be in a local band at the time. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I got tickets for my one friend. He's a big Chimera fan. And so I was like, let's just go. And like, look, I'm going to see State of Conviction and Integrity. And I'm pretty sure that, like, Chimera's, hopefully they blow me away. Hopefully it's awesome. I don't want it to suck. That would really upset me. I don't think they were.
I know Matt DeVries from when he was in Ascension with Big Metal.
Yeah.
And he's a really good guy. He's a pretty serious musician. I would imagine that everybody else in that band is very serious. They're not going to come with some bullshit. I mean, I don't know anything about the band beyond that. I don't know their music. I mean, I'm sure I've heard it. And I'm not saying to be a cool guy. I'm just saying it just missed me. It's one of those things, you know? But I'm sure those shows are going to be great. I can tell you, though, from experience over the past couple years, they're going to have to follow Ringworm. And I will go on record as saying that, you know, not that there's really a competition between Integrity and Ringworm, because there really isn't a competition. You can like both and it's fine. Ringworm has consistently put out really good to amazing records from the time they started, and their most recent records have been really fucking good. And when I saw them last at the Voivod show, they fucking killed it. They played in was it the This Is Hardcore Fest, or I don't, they played somewhere. My friends up in Buffalo were like, yeah, they were the best band all night. Like, they're so, yeah, I'm sure Chimera is going to be great, but I wouldn't want to be following Ringworm. That's all I'm saying.
Crucifixion in the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
They're going to be really fucking good.
They were the first band that I saw after, you know, like, I don't want to say the pandemic, you know, after the pandemic kind of loosened up.
Yeah.
They played at Annabelle's.
That was a good show.
And they just, they're just everything that you expect and want them to be. And I still remember that first demo that they put out, scared the crap out of everybody in high school. I thought it was such a well done album.
I ended up with it because I was writing for a zine at the time. And the editor said, I don't like Metal Gargus, so you can have this. You review it. And it was like exactly everything I wanted to hear, you know. And they put out great records after that, you know, everything. And the side project, I don't know if it's a side project. I think it's a disservice calling it a side project. But the Gluttons is really fucking good, too.
Yeah.
Really good. Josh and I saw them. They got to open for Negative Approach and Circle Jerks. And they killed it. They got up there and they fucking raged. It was like Motorhead worship for sure, but just really well done Motorhead worship. Lots of rock and roll swagger. And, you know, these guys are also listening to UFO on top of Motorhead. So it's perfect, you know, but yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think that Chimera reunion show is going to go over really, really well.
I'm going for the experience. Like I want to see what, I want to see what all the hype is about. Like and also too, like if it's going to be one of those shows that I think is going to be like talked about, like I have a cousin from West Virginia that's coming up just to go to that show. Cause he's like, fucking Chimera, brother. And I'm like,
yeah,
no clue. Like integrity.
Well, it'll be great conviction. Because you'll probably see a lot of people you haven't seen in years, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are going to come. I mean, they sold the show out.
That's people nuts, are
coming out of the woodworks for it. So
I think there's a real awareness. Like there was a thoughtfulness of the, like those lineups make total sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's some Cleveland shit. And it's, you know, so I mentioned that one because I saw that, you know, like, and it was right after, you know, Larry broached the idea of our thing. And I saw that and I'm like, well, there you go. Sold out night one already.
Yeah.
That's how you do one of these. And it's impressive, you know, because I'll never.
Meanwhile, we're on some Akron shit. And most people are just saying they're interested in coming.
Yeah. Interested.
That's some Akron shit. We're on some Akron
our
shit.
Friends are coming to mock us. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
If they show up,
yeah. Too old to mock.
8 o'clock's past our bedtime.
So this show does start at 8, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. I don't want to fuck around punk rock time anymore.
No,
no. And, you know, plus it also offers us the opportunity to hang out afterwards. Real quick, before and in between bands and after. Matt Feeney, who I DJ with a lot, and Jason Trulli are going to be playing music. They're going to be DJing records and stuff, playing some really cool shit at the show as well. So, yeah, I mean, and Trulli goes way back with us as far as like the Don Austin history.
Yeah.
And Feeney's been my partner in crime for fuck almost 10 years now as far as playing records together at Sam's and stuff. So,
been in records in between the bands.
I don't know what they've got planned. I'm sure Jason will probably play some 60s soul and Matt will play, you know, some obscure fucking garage rock record he found somewhere and paid $300 for. But it'll be a good time. They always play good shit.
Here's a fun fact, Josh. I asked Larry to DJ. We did a thing called the F Fest. It was four bands, but that began with the letter F. And I asked Larry if he would DJ that night and play only songs that began with the letter F. And he very easily just sent back a text that said no.
Just no, period.
No.
That sounds about like.
I was like, would you want to do that? No.
No.
That's too much work.
Well, hell yeah.
Hey, listen, Mario pays me.
Well, at least he's paying one of us.
He's coming to the show, so. So yeah.
Is there gonna be pizza? <I'm just
kidding. laughs> Yeah, I did. It does say keep it at 99 on the flyer.
Oh, dude, you know there's gonna be one. There'll be one person. There's gonna be one person. Be like, I thought there was gonna be pizza. Yeah.
There'll be one for sure. Probably Sean McDonald.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Thank you guys so much for doing this. Friday 13th, Musica down on East Market. Come see Don Austin with Wall Creeper, Radar Secret Service. Yeah, I'll see you guys then.
It'll be fun.
Hell yeah. Later, guys.
Later.